Okay, so namaste, welcome to this satsang intensive. Welcome to my part of it, at least. Ian's Qigong is the perfect way to get started with something like this. It is exactly what the body needs to help it open. And, you know, who doesn't forget to breathe deeply at certain times? We could all do a bit more of that. So thank you for that, Ian. It was, as always, amazing. And today we're going to get through an awful lot in a short space of time. So it will all be recorded. And I just suggest chilling out if you can, enjoying and not trying too hard with any of this, because the recordings will be there very shortly after they'll be uploaded. You'll be sent an email with a link to watch it again. So you don't have to get it all this first time. It's more important to just be here with me and let's see what happens in this time, in this space together. And moving forward, as we go into the meditations, again, not trying too hard. I'll do some guided self-inquiry later. So I'll be looking for volunteers that want to do that with me at that point. And in the satsangs as well, please don't hold back because you think your question isn't important. It really is. It is absolutely important. And if it's important to you, it's important to me. And if it's important to you, it will be getting in the way of your deepening. So until it's asked, there are no daft questions. And what we always find every time we do either an intensive or a retreat or any satsang at all is that one person asks the question and about 10 other people have that question at least inside, but maybe didn't realize. So there's something here for everyone, and every question and every answer kind of weaves into this, quilt, but I'll say tapestry of what an intensive is. It kind of builds into it, seems to develop a theme of its own. We'll see what that is today. And most of all, just seeing if you can chill out a little bit with me. We're not here to work hard. We don't need to make sure we get anything out of this. That's going to happen. We can relax a bit more and see if we can just spend this beautiful time together. So for this particular section, I really wanted to spend some time talking about what is the most important thing or things to be focusing on. We're all here for awakening, for a deepening of the awakening that's already in progress, already unfolding, and cannot be stopped. So let's start from there, that we're not here to find awakening, to reach it. We don't have to get rid of anything. We're only here to speed up what's already occurring. And that's important because it can help us relax. It'll help us come into a calmer, slower energy in which we're more able to take, to absorb more out of what's going to happen today. So there'll be verbal teachings, of course, and there'll be question and answers. But most importantly, what's going to happen today is an energetic thing that's going on, highly technical term, that thing. It's going on underneath the words that are being spoken. You've probably already felt it many times before, and it's not anything magical that anyone's doing. It's just when we're present here in this present moment together, especially when we're together, it's powerful. It's just helping us shift and release blocks. And that's really all we're doing in the whole of our awakening. We are already the infinite self. Don't need to become that, transform into it. We don't even need to give up a separate self because there isn't one, but there seems to be, and there will seem to be for quite some time. So we're just going to be looking at ways to get out of our own way, so to speak, and make this unfolding, this blossoming, and a beautiful, I'm sure it has a much more poetic name, but flower move that Ian was doing. It's perfect. That's what's happening here for us all. So the most important things for me, I've used this analogy before and I'll use it again because it works. If you're rowing a boat across a river or across any body of water you really need two oars. You need two oars, and you need to row together or alternately so that you're going in a straight line. If you only have one oar, or if you have two but you're only using one, you're just going to be going around in circles. And boy, have we all experienced that in our awakening journey. So the two oars for me that are vital were my awakening were, first one, seeing what you really are actually. So some self-inquiry, some meditation, some deeper seeing. And the other awe then is seeing what you're not. And we don't have to do anything really to have this shown to us. Life is more than happy to present us with circumstances and experiences where we'll be shown the old way, when we're acting from the old way of thinking, thinking of ourselves as a finite, limited being, either that we're only this body-mind vehicle and we're gone when it's gone, or that we are some kind of finite, limited, energetic being living inside a body, also not the truth. You are already the infinite self. These two awes then really our best road together. And this is why when we have a deeper seeing of what you really are, something pretty soon after, if not immediately, is going to rise to the surface. Here is where I'm still believing in what I am not. So this being that's not good enough, this person in my relationships, in my finances, in my career, in my awakening in general. And we'll look at more about that later. But rowing with that awe is contemplation, spending some time pondering, seeing, being willing to see where we're not functioning from the place that we've seen in our inquiry. Now, life then is always going to be kind of led by this deeper seeing of what we are. And that doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It could just be I just saw that clearer than I saw it 2 minutes before. And nobody else would know at all what's going on inside you. You just had an aha moment or something like that. And then life is going to give you a chance to apply that. And don't think for a second that that stopped for me, because it's still going on. It's just I've decided that it's much easier when I'm consciously rowing and I've got into the habit of that rather than being pushed along. Stretching the analogy a bit here, but by these kind of tidal currents and being sort of shoved around by life. So there is no end point to the deepening, but it's happening to the body and mind, and it's happening more and more effortlessly. It's always been happening effortlessly. We just think we're doing it, and therefore we think we can screw it up or be worthy or unworthy, ready or not ready for awakening. You are already the infinite self, the one being, the universal being. There's only one of us here. It's the same being that's speaking these words as is listening. Let's start from that right place. All that's happening is that in that body-mind vehicle, it's getting clearer and clearer and allowing that truth to flow through easier and much more effortlessly. To a point where there's just an effortless, continuous deepening going on, and you're watching the show. And you can begin to relax then, hopefully, with the knowledge that you are already that. All that's happening is that you're coming to see it clearer. And because you are already that, that being the formless, invisible, intangible, consciousness, awareness, I'm going to use lots of words to mean the same thing, self, capital S, noumenon, consciousness, presence, here-ness, this now moment, awareness, the sense of being awake. There's all different kinds of names for it, emptiness, nothingness, also appearing as fullness and everythingness. So I'm going to swap and change those words around just so it is hopefully easier not to get attached to any one particular word. You don't really have a name anyway, what you really are. Or we could say that all the names, all the nouns in the entire world or the naming words for animal, vegetable, mineral, sentient, insentient, is all your name, everything. So self, noumenon, also illusion, also duality is you, all of it. There's nothing that's not you, and nor could there ever be. And for the rest of forever, you're going to be making these shapes, playing with these forms, and simply coming to see that more and enjoying that process more. That's all we're doing. I like to keep it this simple because then, for me, it took the pressure off. I can't get this wrong. It can seemingly slow it down if I resist it, which I did plenty. And learning how to be with that resistance and how to move beyond it, we'll look at that moving forward later as we go through the day. But just to recognize right now, every single person, I have never met anyone that didn't resist their awakening completely. Even though on one hand, we desperately want this. On the other hand, there is some energy working against that, trying to keep things the same, trying to keep our awakening where it is right now. And just understanding those two energies and not judging the one that's trying to keep you in the same place, not trying to get rid of anything, just watching these two energies. One wants to wake up, one doesn't. We could call it ego, mind, and self, or whatever you want to call it. But simply by not judging those, some part of you feels that you're safer when things are staying the same, and it tries to control things and keep everything the same. And we only suffer from that then when we're pushing against it. So if we just notice, I have a deeper seeing, and then life shows me where I can apply this, and there's some resistance that comes up immediately to doing that. Just noticing, oh, there's the resistance. There's that energy that doesn't want to deepen in this, that doesn't want to push further. And I'm only going to be at the effect of that resistance if I am trying to get rid of it, expecting it not to be there. Awakened beings will still have resistance come up. It's just a vibration, doesn't mean anything. It's not pushed away or grabbed a hold of. It just is, like the emotion or the experience or a table. It just is. It doesn't have to stop us. It's only going to affect us, and I'm saying this one more time because it's really important. Only affects us, resistance, if we push against it. If we resist the resistance, we'll feel stuck, we'll feel small, we'll feel contracted, and we'll feel all kinds of negative emotion, and we'll feel that we're at the bottom of a dark hole that we can't really climb back out of. The moment we just kind of come to accept there's going to be resistance to any seeing and any deepening, that's part of this whole thing. And that resistance is just a very neutral energy that thinks it's helping you be safe. And therefore, I don't have to do anything with that. And I can consciously recognize that I'm safer, more peaceful, more joyful if I move deeper anyway. I don't have to get rid of this part of myself. Just it's enough to accept it. And that was, for me, the real key. The real magic moment for me was when I stopped pushing against my egoic sense of self. Or perhaps clearer said, when my egoic sense of self, my sense of being someone, separate being, stopped fighting with itself and just allowed itself to bask in the love, the acceptance of the noumenon, the awareness, the consciousness, then it was full speed ahead. And that really was, didn't get rid of it. It went on its own at some point, not sure when that happened, because it wasn't really important whether it went or not, because they were just thoughts at that point. They weren't my resistance. They weren't my blockages. They were just energetic frequencies that were happening inside the body at various times. Maybe you can feel the difference in the attitude between the two. I'm big enough for this seeing and this deepening and this resistance to appear inside me. I don't have to like it, but I can accept it. It's here. Okay. I don't need to push it against it. And I don't need to grab for anything either. Just learning this neutral stance, noticing in any moment, I'm either having a deeper seeing or I'm in a moment of opportunity to roll with this other awe, to apply what I've seen, to see where my thought process is still functioning as a small, limited, finite being and can be upgraded to the self's perspective. What is that in any moment? I don't know, but we can ask. This is a smaller way of thinking for me now, and it feels too tight. It feels constricting. And what would the self do with this? How would the pure awareness, the consciousness, the beingness see this? What's true for me now? And can I just step back from wholeheartedly buying this that isn't true? So rowing with these two oars, recognizing right now that at some point you'll find that you've been going around in circles with just one or the other. And that's okay. As soon as you recognize, you just start to move forward again. No big deal. We'll talk about the no big deal bit later, just to really cement that in. Because what I want you to leave this awakening with, this awakening, this awakening and this intensive with, is a clear, resounding recognition that you cannot stop this awakening. And that you, if you take just one sentence out of today, it would be this very next sentence I'm about to say. And that is, everybody has resistance. Everybody falls back into illusion, into the old way of thinking. Everybody goes around in circles for a while. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you or that you're doing anything wrong. What if that's just a part of it? So I'm going to say that again because it's really, really, really important. Every single person, everyone I've ever met, myself, every awakened being that's ever broken free, has spent this period of time falling back into illusion after seeing the truth, coming out of it, falling back in, coming out of it, falling back in, coming out of it. There's no way for that to not happen. And that is not something you're doing wrong. And if that's happening for you still, we'll look at how to shortcut that later. The major shortcut is to realize this is just part of the process. Every time I fall asleep again, it hurts a little bit more. I'm jolted out of it. My desire is stronger. I've got more power then in the body, mind, vehicle to break out of this pattern once and for all. So I don't have to beat myself up because my mind, your mind, my mind would still be telling me if I knew where it was right now that I'm the only one in the entire universe that's falling back into the illusion again, that nobody else is doing it at all, that everybody sees the truth and then stays awake or some version of that except you. And it's just utter nonsense. You have to fall asleep a little bit again to kind of get the fire burning, to get the desire strong enough. You know, you're going to buy a new outfit, you're going somewhere wonderful and you want to look really good. And you try on this thing and it's amazing and it looks so good on you and it fits perfect and it's got curves in all the right places and it's the right price. In fact, it's free. You know, they're giving it to you free, which, you know, is amazing in itself. And I'm not sure yet. So you go back and you put your old clothes back on again and they're too small. They don't feel as good and they're getting a little tight and, you know, you've got to walk around in them for a little while and you feel, no, this isn't it now. Without walking around in that old outfit again, you wouldn't really have this deepening of desire to live as the self in that moment, whatever that is in that moment. Most of the time, living as the self is not having attention on the awareness or the pure self. Most of the time, living as the self, staying as the self, embodying what you've seen, is going to mean simply one thing: not judging yourself. I'm not judging the judging that's going on of yourself and others. That's the one shortcut. Okay, there's two shortcuts I've mentioned. That's the other, they're both the same really, but if you get that one, that's what being the self is, capital S, the noumenon. It is utterly incapable of judging, rejecting, diminishing, criticizing. And it even does that when we're criticizing ourselves. It lovingly, completely, totally allows our egoic sense of self to do its thing. It never once says to the mind, you should not do that. To the ego, you're not right, you should go away. It totally accepts, I don't agree with, the self says, what you're saying, but I can understand it and I'm not going to try and stop you. So being the self, staying as the self, living as the awareness, in most moments for me, wasn't about keeping my attention on it completely, or consciousness, beingness, silence. It was, how would the silence be with this karmic pattern that's coming up? How would the stillness want to be with this emotion that's happening inside my body right now? What would consciousness do with this angry person in front of me, or this angry person inside me? And that's a whole lot different from what I thought it meant to stay as the self. I'd heard this so many times from so many satsangs teachers. Recognize what you are and then be that. Okay, let me keep attention on the silence as much as is possible in my waking state. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's, what am I going to do with my ego when it's doing its thing? Right in front of me, when it's completely going off on one. When my mind is, and I'm using those terms synonymously, ego and mind at the moment. My mind is doing its tsunami thing where it's just, what do I do with it then? If I go into blame of myself, then I'm identifying as a separate being again. If I can simply watch as best I can, not enjoy, but just watch, not judging the judging, immediately there'll be peace in that. So these two R's, seeing and being, and noticing what you're not, seeing what you are, being that as much as you can, noticing what you're not, and working on a willingness to stop being what you're not. Really, they're the same thing. They're happening at the same time. Every time we have a deeper seeing of what we really are, something inside wants that more and is less and less able to kind of live any other way. And you reach a point with that where you go, I can't, absolutely cannot be that small, limited being anymore. And same time, life is helping us come to that point by showing us again and again what it's like to live as a separate being. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just too small for us now. It doesn't fit. Actually, it's not really fit for a long time, has it? It's not really been our home for such a long time. Actually, it's never been our home. It's just a kind of a habit we picked up along the way, and it's gathered some momentum out of sheer force of habit and momentum. But if you imagine a big, heavy freight train moving along at 60 miles an hour, loads and loads of carriages behind, a lot of weight and momentum, the very moment you put the brakes on, and that's by stopping judging yourself, not getting rid of the mind's judgment, but stopping judging yourself for judging. Don't criticize your criticism of yourself or others. The moment you put the brakes on, it will come to a halt. There's nothing else that could happen other than the momentum will run out and it will stop. How long it takes from putting the brakes on to the whole thing stopping is really how much you judge yourself in that process. So, again, how can we apply what I've just said? By realizing you're going to forget what I've just said at some point, aren't you? Just as I did. And then you're going to remember and it'll be easy. And then you'll forget again. You'll find yourself judging yourself again. You'll find yourself rejecting your mind again. You'll find yourself pushing against an emotion when it comes up. You'll find yourself at some point really believing some thoughts that really feel quite terrible. What do you do then in that moment? Okay, this is happening. I'd rather it not, but it is. I don't have to use this as a way to beat myself up and to make myself sure that I'm not good enough. I mean, this really is why Buddha sat down under the Bodhi tree. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm sitting here until I've not judged my judging long enough that I break through into something. That's all. And as he saw the judgment and the projections and the beliefs and didn't judge them, he went deeper. Something else came up and he didn't judge it. He went even deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And that is our life. You're sitting under the Bodhi tree and you have been for some time. Maybe haven't recognized that yet. You're waiting for some pivotal moment to happen where something explodes inside you. By that point, it will be already over. It's happening now for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this intensive. So the good news is that the brakes are already on and have been for some time. You threw that lever quite some time ago. And we're just running out of momentum of my willingness to keep doing this old way. That's all that's going on. So as we just relax today and enjoy ourselves a bit, if we can, hopefully we'll have a bit of a laugh too. It's always good. And not working hard. I don't want to see anyone frowning or working too hard today. Let's see if we can just kind of metaphorically chill out. The brakes are on. You're slowing down. You might even stop today. Doesn't matter though if you are relaxed and enjoying the process. Doesn't matter how far you go down the track, does it? Brakes are already on. And if you're enjoying yourself, you won't be suffering. So we'll go into more of how to get out of your own way later. But for now, just remembering those two things, the two R's. And in that, staying the best you can in the simplicity of those two things. I'm seeing what I really am. And I'm seeing what I'm not. And those are the only two things that's ever going on for you. Okay. Thank you. Namaste.